So this weekend, we're going to talk about the prophet Jonah. And Jonah, I love, because Jonah is probably the best known of all of the books of the prophets. And I expect that part of that is because it's mostly just a story. Many of the prophets contain sort of lengthy pronouncements of God's judgment against Judah or against Israel or against one of their neighbors. God speaks a few times in Jonah, and quite a bit in the last chapter, and Jonah has an extended prayer when he's in the belly of the fish, but Jonah is mostly just a story. And it's an interesting story to boot. We teach our kids this story because Jonah is swallowed by a great fish, something that captures the imagination, right? A person being swallowed by a whale. And he's 3 days inside the fish, and then the fish vomits him out onto the shore. And there are some extra odd things about the story of Jonah, too, in addition to a man being eaten by a whale. Things we don't normally consider. We all know Jonah was supposed to go to preach to Nineveh. He didn't want to go, so he boards a ship headed for Tarshish, and the ship hits a terrible storm, and Jonah is thrown overboard to save the ship, and he's swallowed up by the fish, and the fish vomits him up, and then Jonah heads to Nineveh, proclaims God's judgment against them, and they repent. We all know that. That's sort of the basic plot of the story. But the real climax of the story is Jonah's confrontation with God after Nineveh repents. And like every story, there's a main character and conflict and a battle against nature and villains and all sorts of things. But in many ways, Jonah, the main character, the prophet, the one who's supposed to be the hero of the story, is the bad guy. And that's unusual for God's prophets. You won't find too many other prophetical books where the prophet that God calls is the one doing all of the disobeying and the complaining throughout the whole book. Usually that's reserved for other people, but in Jonah, it's the prophet who goes against everything that God says. This isn't a story about a brave hero facing death to follow God's commands and carry out his call. Instead, it's a story about God dragging an unwilling prophet to a place he doesn't want to go. So that's where we're going to start tonight. At the beginning of Jonah chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 6 verses. Jonah's in the prophetical books. It's right after Obadiah. Does that help you? It's right before Micah. No? Okay. It's Jonah, chapter 1. We'll read the first 6 verses. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess that we identify with Jonah. that he hears your call to something he does not want to do, and his first instinct is to go the other way. So, Lord, we pray that as you are patient with Jonah, as you direct him in the way he should go, as you correct him and as you speak to him in this book, we pray that you will also show us the same patience, the same guidance, the same teaching, the same correction. And that we will find here encouragement of your mercy to those who repent and of your love to those who are not yet yours. So we pray, teach us, encourage us, and open your word to us this weekend to hear and to understand, to receive and to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're not told a whole bunch of Jonah at the beginning of the book, other than he's Jonah, the son of Amittai. And he actually gets mentioned in one of the Old Testament historical books. In 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, we learn that Jonah ministered during the reign of King Jeroboam II of Israel. That's the northern kingdom, okay? So David has already been king, Solomon has already been king, and then the kingdom of Israel has split between the north and the south with Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And so he is up in the north. The tribes that have mostly forgotten about the Lord are worshiping in ways that he hasn't commanded them to do, and things aren't going very well. Jeroboam was king between 782 and 753 BC, about that time. Things are going poorly in the north, and within a generation or two, they're about to go a lot worse. We get the story of Jonah probably from Jonah's account following all the events of the book. Jonah's told to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was the largest city in the world at that time. It was even bigger than Babylon, which was called the Great City. It was on the Tigris River near modern-day Mosul in Iraq. And for the last 100 years or so, the Assyrian Empire, of which Nineveh was the capital, had been getting bigger and bigger, more and more powerful, conquering more and more lands. Assyria wasn't quite yet a threat to Israel, but within a generation, they would be. They were going to come and they were going to take over Samaria, Israel's capital city. They would send out a bunch of Israel's people in exile and they would bring their own people in and settle there. Which is why the Samaritans were so hated at the time of Jesus. They were the descendants of the people of the Jews who remained and of the Assyrians who came and settled there. Okay. The Assyrians were Israel's enemies. They hated them. And this is going to be very important in the story as we go ahead. The Israelites hate the Assyrians. They're their enemies. They threaten to take over their land, to kick them out of their homes, to kill their sons and their fathers. Okay? They are mortal enemies. So when God commands Jonah to go and preach to Nineveh, he decides to run. So notice first, Jonah's resolve after receiving God's command to disobey. He resolves to disobey. First three verses again. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down in it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Notice that in these few verses where God gives his short command to Jonah where he's supposed to go, he mentions Nineveh once. Get up, go and preach to Nineveh.
their evil has come up before me and I'm going to destroy them. Go and preach to Nineveh. Nineveh gets mentioned once. And then in the ensuing two sentences about what Jonah does next, Tarshish is mentioned three times. Now to us, that might not mean a lot. But where Jonah needs to go is basically northeast. He's heading from the sort of eastern edge of the Mediterranean Sea, northeast up into modern-day Iraq, along the Tigris River into Nineveh. He needs to go northeast. And he boards a ship going to Tarshish, which the best guess is that Tarshish is probably at or near Carthage, which is on the northern shore of Africa. So he goes southwest. Needs to go northeast, goes southwest. Goes exactly the opposite way he was supposed to go. And in case we miss it, it gets mentioned three times. Go to Nineveh? Nope. Going to Tarshish, going to Tarshish, going to Tarshish to get away from the presence of the Lord. It says that twice. Jonah has set himself as hard as he can against the command that God has given him. God had told him, go northeast. Jonah goes southwest. Jonah knew where he was supposed to go, and he chose to go in the opposite direction, which is a lot like us. Usually, our disobedience isn't for lack of knowledge. It's not out of ignorance. It's just because we don't want to. It's just because we don't like what it is that God says. Have you ever read through the Bible and found things that you don't like? Not stories that are uncomfortable or violent, though there are plenty of those, but commands that you just don't like. That your money doesn't exist for your comfort, but to bring glory to God, to provide for you and your family, and then to relieve the suffering of the poor. Or that you can't continue to hold the hurts others have caused you over their heads and exact vengeance on them for it, but that you're meant to forgive them as God has forgiven you. Or that your body doesn't belong to you, but it was made by a God who tells you how you ought to honor him with your body, including maybe even your sexuality. We find stuff that we don't like, and often simply because we don't like it, our choice is to set ourselves against God, to resolve to disobey. That's the situation Jonah finds himself in. God's commanded him to go to Nineveh, but he doesn't want to. So what do we do when we find ourselves in such a situation? Well, let's look at what Jonah did. He ran. Okay, he resolves to disobey. And then he runs. Verse 3. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Jonah decides to run from the Lord's presence. He goes to the port city of Joppa to flee from the presence of the Lord. And this is going to be important later because it doesn't make any sense to us that Jonah would run away to get away from the presence of God. Because can we do that? Is there some place we can go where God isn't? Right? Is there somewhere we can go where he's not going to find us? Wasn't God present when Jonah was in Joppa? Doesn't God see in Tarshish once he eventually sets his feet there, if he ever got there? The answer is obviously, of course God is in Joppa and in Tarshish. How is he trying to get away from the presence of the Lord? There's nowhere to run from God. This is exactly what Psalm 139 says. Psalm 139, in the first 12 verses. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me by night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Jonah decides that he's going to get away from the God that is everywhere. And even if he sets out on the sea, as he does, the 139th Psalm says, there your hand is too. But Jonah isn't thinking like this. He's thinking like his pagan neighbors, like the people around Israel who believed in a great variety of gods and who believed often that their gods belonged to them as a particular group of people, or their god belonged to the particular piece of land that they lived on. This is a god for this place and this people. That one is the god of the Edomites. That one is the god of the Egyptians. That one is the god of the Babylonians. And Jonah is thinking like Yahweh, the God, the Lord who made heaven and earth, is just the God of the Israelites. He's just for us in this place. So if I can get away from here, I can get away from him. He's thinking of the Lord of heaven and earth as though he only belongs to Jonah and to Jonah's people, like he's only the God of the Hebrews and no one else. He's thinking of God like God is only here to bless me and the people who are like me and the people closest to me. God is here for me and mine, not for strangers, and certainly not for our enemies. And though we wouldn't say it outright, though we would say that God is everywhere, often we think of God the same way. God exists to bless and protect me, to bless and protect the people who are a lot like me, and not people who aren't, and especially not my enemies. So it seems completely irrational for Jonah to try to run away from God. But sin is always irrational. It always makes us do things that don't make sense, to do stupid, nonsensical, self-destructive, and hurtful things. It may not seem like it in the moment, but that is always the way that it works. That's what running from God's commands always gets us. His ways are wise and loving, even when we can't quite put our finger on how. And when we decide we don't like them and we're going to head in the other direction, we end up living irrationally. Maybe it doesn't seem irrational to those who have gone the same way, but deep down, we end up working against our own interests. We end up offending God and hurting ourselves and hurting others. Which brings us to the last thing. Jonah runs, he sets himself against God, which is utterly irrational. It makes no sense. And yet it makes sense to you in the moment when you've decided that I don't like what God is saying, so I'm going to go the other way. The last thing is this. Jonah's treating God as if God is only for him and his friends and his neighbors and not for anyone else. What we see in Jonah is that love of self above all others turns us away from God. Look again at verses 4 to 6. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." The storm whips up, and the sailors try to divine an answer for what's going on. Notice that in this short passage that we've read, verses 1 to 6, twice Jonah is told to arise. God says it to him the first time in verse 2. He says, "Arise, get up, head to Nineveh and preach to them." And now in verse 6, the captain of the ship comes to him and he says, "Arise, what are you doing sleeping? Call out to your God and see if he can do something to save us." Notice that Jonah only responds the way he's supposed to the second time. There's nothing for Jonah to gain in the way he sees it. There's nothing for Jonah to gain by going to Nineveh, and everything for him to lose. He already knows God. Perhaps the Ninevites will reject his message and kill him. So he disobeys. But he'll obey the ship's captain when it's his own life that's on the line. What are the things where you want to ignore God or head in the other direction? What are the things that easily stoke your anger? On what issues do you quickly react to justify yourself? Are there things that God commands that just seem as if they will cost you too much? And so we decide to head the other way. Is there anything like that for you? If there is, then you're a lot like Jonah. Which means that the story of this book and God's conversation with Jonah throughout it is going to have a lot to say to you this weekend. Because it has a lot to say to me, too. This is not just a Jonah thing. This is something that is common to one degree or another to all of us who believe in Jesus. There are things that we come up against that God calls us to, that God commands of us, that just feel like too much. So what does it mean for us when we go the other way? What are we missing by ignoring them or doing the opposite? And what does God have in store for us when we listen? When we let His will be done instead of ours, when we believe Him and when we obey, it's what we're going to talk about this weekend. Let's pray. Father, we pray, help us to take an honest look at our own hearts, at our own desires this weekend. And in the places where we resist you, where we want to ignore you, where we would rather not hear you, soften our hearts. Turn us toward you in love because you sent your Son Jesus to redeem us. And in your patience with Jonah, and in your correction to Jonah, speak to us too. Set our hearts, set our eyes, set our desires on Jesus Christ, who came to make us his own, even though it was so costly to him. because he shows us your mercy and he shows us your love. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Let's stand and we'll sing.